Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yeah, really having a beautiful morning with you and alhamdulillah. When there's someone on the other side, yeah, that's always looking at the ocean for you, that he's on the same page with you when it comes to divinity. The early bird catches the worm, but the early, worshipper gets a powerful and lots of sawab and lots of blessing, and he radiates with positivity. And one such individual is there watching the promenade, looking at a cloudy silhouette. Can you see the sun rising? Our very own Adam Kamdar, fresh off the tarmac, yeah, from the Ushaka airport. Our very own Adam Kamdar has landed from Turkey. Adam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafad. Yes, lovely to be back in the country. Smell the fresh South African air. Beautiful morning on the Durban beachfront. The sea is looking a bit bumpy today. I expect it to be absolutely flat, but it is a little bumpy. Lots of boats have launched. They've all gone out to fish. Ahead of the bad weather that we're expecting tomorrow, Shafad, we're expecting very strong winds tomorrow and rough seas. So I think everyone that's down to enjoy Durban is out at sea today, enjoying it. And not too many people on the promenade as well. They are our usual walkers and joggers, but the crowd looks a little smaller than before. Maybe they'll all arrive a little later, having a little bit of a lazy Sunday morning, Shafad.
You know, I like what you said, the walkers and joggers. I don't know if you recall, Adam, but when I was a likey, the guys will ask me, you know, hey, what's your job? What are you doing, bro? I said, hey, I belong to the WTA. I said, what that means? I said, the Walkers and Talkers Association. I don't know, Adam, what you used to tell them? You know, they know what you're doing, but they still ask, hey, but what are you doing, brother? What are you doing? Talk to us, Adam.
Yes, walking and turning as well, Shafad, is also a common line when they ask what you're doing, Shafad.
Yeah, WTA. Now WTA takes another World Tennis Association and WWF. And our kids are so captured by these things. You'll be amazed. Some of them even talk like those robotics. I don't know if you notice the lighties of today. They act like those, those machines or those cartoon characters. And this is how media has captured the mind. You know, perhaps you should be taking all these lighties and teaching them how to fish so they can behave normal, Adam.
Yes, Shafad, talking about the youngsters, I've been observing, I've had the privilege to interact with my nephews and nieces recently out on my holiday. And even my niece visited us from the UK in the last week or so. And I'm absolutely amazed, Shafad, at, you know, you talk about ambition and job and what you'd like to do and career path. When we were young, you know, you think of lawyer, doctor, ambitious, you maybe think of wanting to become a pilot or fireman or something like that. But the job descriptions that the kids are, you know, that have milling around in their heads at the moment, Shafad, never existed when we were youngsters. My niece is actually a production agent, and I'm thinking, what is a production agent? She works with social media, and she's running this production house that produces videos for bloggers and influencers. And even 5 years ago, we wouldn't have even thought that job description existed. And a lot of the younger ones, Shafad, my nephews and nieces in the age bracket between, say, 4 years and 10 years, they all want to be influencers. They all want to be famous on YouTube and Facebook and, be unpackaging fantastic toys and gadgets. Apparently, you can get quite famous and you can make a fantastic income out of this kind of a career path, Shafad. And the actual hands-on jobs is not what's attracting our youngsters anymore. It's more mental, intellectual, and typing out and video skills, Shafad. So that's the new trend. And apparently, there's a lot of demand for it and there's a lot of money to be made in it as well, Shafad.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you get those they're behind the keyboard. They call them the keyboard warrior. They their job is just to worry people and needle them and do that. But we'll leave them alone. And, you know, Adam, you won't believe it. When there was a doctor uncle of mine, Dr. Suleiman Dawood, Allah Feliz Kabar with Nuri, passed away a few years ago. And he had this habit of asking me, so when you grow up, what do you want to become? You know, he did it that way. You know, I'm a kid now. Mm-hmm. And I must have been four or five years old. And I said, you know what, Choromamu, I want to become a father. And he used to laugh it out, and he'll call all the family members to say, hey, come here, what he wants to be. When you grow up, what do you want to become? I said, no, I want to become a father. And, you know, I subsequently lost my dad when I was 9 years old. And, you know, yeah, became a father, you know, like a father figure and this and that. But alhamdulillah, my ambition was fulfilled, Adam. And subsequently, there was, when I was growing up, I wanted to become a pilot. I wanted to go to, but you know, this country never gave us the opportunity. And perhaps someone at that time should have sent me to Pakistan. So I would have been a Paki of a PIA a pilot today, Adam.
Yes, Shafad, when I was younger, I actually wanted to become a teacher. And the reason for that was I think, you know, teachers get so much of time off from school. So, you know, you work basically from 8 to about 3 and then you're off for the rest of the day. And then you enjoy all the holidays with the kids as well, Shafad. And talking about career paths, my late brother Mohammed often told me this joke about his classmate that whenever the teacher asked the class, so what would you like to be when you grow up? What would you like to do? And his classmate always used to say, I want to drive fast. I want to be in a car and drive fast. That's what he likes to do. That's what he wants to do as a career path, as a living. And it so turns out, when he finished school, he actually studied and became a paramedic. And his dream came true. Whenever he responds to emergencies, he has to drive fast.
I imagine that, Adam, and alhamdulillah, you know, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, media is an exciting world, and alhamdulillah, you have to be hands-on. And, you know, with millions of people listening to you, you have to be on the straight and narrow. And, you know, you have to watch what you talk. Otherwise, you know, when you walk on the streets, I mean, the guy says, Adam, I heard you there. And, you know, why is he saying that? They say, he didn't know what he's talking about. But Noor Allah Noor, Adam, you know, with your voracious reading, being an astute businessman and a powerful upbringing, you really have a refined disposition. And I think that holds you in good stead. And, you know, the confidence to go on platforms and to talk, Adam.
Yes, Shafad, whenever I meet my friends or family and they say, oh, aren't you nervous when you go on the radio, etc.? And I think you'd be nervous if you are confronting a topic that's really technical and complicated. But chatting with you on here, Shafad, is just like picking up the phone and catching up on my holiday. And, you know, it's so casual. And so you really put me at ease. So I'm quite comfortable and quite chilled, Shafad, you know, with our conversations. Thank you very much for that.
No, I must also thank you for being such a cool guy. Hey, I like your cool shades you got. Did you buy them from Turkey, Adam? Because in your store, you got millions of them. But hey, I see you got a shade from Turkey. Talk to us about the shades, the different colors and the different flavors of Turkey, Adam.
Yes, Shafad. I did carry some eye protection. I actually carried my fishing glasses. It's actually quite fashionable as well. You can wear these glasses on the water and as well as on land. So I didn't do any shopping for sunglasses. But shopping is one of the activities that is so lovely and accessible to South Africans because the currency about 5 years ago was 7 to 1. That means if something cost 1,000 lira, 5 years ago, it would have cost 7,000 rand. But now, Shafad, it's 1 to 1. So if something is priced 1,000 lira, it's 1,000 rand. And in department stores like LC Waikiki, really, really smart, modern shirts, you know, latest fashion and fantastic materials. Shirts were going for around 125 to about 200 lira, which is 125 rand to 200 rand. Which is very reasonable. Here you pay between 500 rand and 1,000 rand for a good shirt. And then a shop in a store called Boina, which is also a department store. And there they had each little department with Levi's and Wrangler and, you know, all the really famous brands and all genuine stuff. You can, you know, you can shop even cheaper if you shop around the Grand Bazaar area, and you can negotiate with the guys. But, you know, if your negotiating skills are not up to par and you feel a bit embarrassed about lowballing the guys a bit too much and haggling. And then even when you conclude the deal, you don't know whether you really paid the right price. I enjoyed more shopping in the malls because it was already so well priced. And even though they were so well priced, I had a local SIM card, a local number, and they were giving me all the frequent buyer discounts and everything on all the departments. So I really enjoyed it. I went to town. I didn't even take luggage up. I carried a hand luggage. I bought some amazing amazing set of Nautica luggage bags, set of three, and I filled them up and brought them back home, Shafaat.
Yeah, but you're a wise man, Adam, and alhamdulillah, you travel light, and you enjoyed that, and as a lot of South Africans have gone to Turkey and actually taken a residency there. And did you meet any of that? Or do you have family members that have taken up a residency there in Turkey, Adam?
No, Shavad, I don't have any family living there, but I have heard that Turkey is making it quite attractive, quite lucrative, to bring in people with skills and bring in people with money as well. I think any country would be prudent to try and attract people with technical skills, you know, with degrees and, highly qualified. And also people who are close to retirement age, they attract them to come and buy a retirement home. Obviously, you've earned your entire life and you've got a huge lump sum. So it brings it into the country and makes the country stronger. I think that's where we are lacking in this country, Shafaat, where, you know, a lot of our skilled artisans are saying, you know what, things are collapsing there and we're looking for greener pastures. We want to move to a more stable country. And our government has the attitude, you know, go if you want to go. We'll manage. But as you can see what's happening with the likes of Eskom, etc., I saw an article that said they need to attract all the skills back to South Africa to enable them to fix the problems. So I think instead of crying once the horses run away, our country should make things more attractive for our skilled and wealthy people to stay here rather than run away, Shabbat.
Absolutely. We have lost lots of skilled people. They actually chased them away and they made BEE, and you now say we want you back. But as you spoke about the skills, you know, and all that we have in the country, and every day there's load shedding. I went without lights for about 16 days, without water for maybe the same amount of days. But alhamdulillah, we managed. But this is South Africa. And then the tax man says, yeah, you know, go. Go, Adam, but we will still tax you because you will still keep your South African citizenship. We're going to still tax you. I mean, look at the greed of this of these officials, Adam. Yeah, perhaps a quick comment from you.
Yes, Shafaat, in this country, we are taxed to death. You know, all the people that are registered and running legitimate businesses, they have to support there's quite a large proportion of the population that's unemployed, and all those grants, etc., comes out of this money. So there is already a big demand created by the government, you know, in creating these grants. So a lot of healthy money that's been collected is already distributed through grants. And then over and above that, there's the actual requirements of the country to run the country, fixing the roads and sorting out Eskom, and there's so much to be done. And then on top of that, we've had two recent floods, which has damaged so much more. Money hasn't been used in maintaining the infrastructure. Now there's been physical damage to infrastructure. So there's more demand. And the danger, Shafaat, is that they will start borrowing more and more money. And eventually, the income from all the citizens will not be enough to support the loans and the interest payments on the loans. So this country is heading down quite a dangerous route. Hopefully they can put their heads together and find solutions to each other.
No, absolutely, Adam. And only 11 to 13% of this population is registered as taxpayers, or those that pay the SARS, the money. But there's many other things. So they don't talk to you about the fuel levy or the fuel tax, and they don't talk to you about the GST, all that. Every move you make, you're paying your VAT and this and that. They're milking the people dry there, but Allahu Alam. Yes, Adam, moving on. And, you know, whilst you're in Turkey, you know, your mind is also hooked to the ocean. The type of fish that was available there, the type of fish you tasted there. And I believe those Mediterranean people are very addicted to lovely olive and fish and lemon, Adam.
Yes, Shafad, you know, if you're a diehard fisherman, then it doesn't matter where you go to, where you travel to, you'll always look out for the locals and see how they fish, look at what kind of tackle they use, what kind of species they catch. And we had the privilege one day to stop our taxi on a bridge that was going over the Bosphorus River. And he allowed us to walk around for 10 or 15 minutes, and then we continued our journey. So on that walk, we interacted with a lot of the locals that were lining the railing of the bridge. And these guys have set up like a rod holder that they attach to the bridge, and they attach the rod to the cast the line in, they attach the rod to that, and they relax. Some of them are drinking Turkish tea. Some of them have set up a small table with a, you know, a whole series of different little dishes that they're having for breakfast. Some of them just pop a cigarette, but it's a very social, relaxed atmosphere. No die-hard fishing like our shad fishermen casting over each other, Shafad. And what was really amazing is that there's so much of traffic moving under the bridge, you know, all these boats and ships. And I was wondering, how do they avoid, you know, getting the lines snagged? It seemed like, you know, there's a certain section of the bridge that the fishermen would fish and they'd leave the middle for the traffic, so that they seem to have quite a happy medium. And the fish that we're catching is similar to our mass bunker and not very big in size. They were ranging from about 12 centimeters to about 16 centimeters. This type of fish, Shafad, locally we catch them and use them for bait, but on that bridge they actually target them for a meal, Shafad. And I would assume they take it home, clean it up, and grill it on an open fire, Shafad, and serve it with a nice green salad and a good squeeze of lemon and salt and pepper, Shafad.
Absolutely, but alhamdulillah, you can't beat when you make your dorado and when you make your natural tuna and so forth. Hey, you got it all under control, yeah. Sardine fever is here, Adam. When you were in Turkey, you were still keeping eye on what was the movement like here in KZN?
Yes, Shafad. You know, I post pictures of the ocean daily, and I was going to be away for a week, so I felt really, I thought I was disappointing my friends. So I made arrangements actually with Vaizi's daughter, who also lives on the beachfront, to take photos daily and send to me, and then I could post them on Facebook and still satisfy the hunger of my fans, Shafad, so everyone could keep tabs. And every morning, everyone would scour those photos and look for signs of the shoals. We haven't seen any signs yet. I think on 2 days ago, the netters that operate at the Addington Beach put out a net. They saw some activity. They put out a net, but it wasn't sardines at all. It was a few big mullet and some other small fish apart. So they are having a practice run. The Natal Sharks Board, the KZN Sharks Board, has done a few sighting flights already. And the last flight they did was the middle of this week. And it was very promising. They flew all the way to Hole in the Wall. And they made a count of the different species birds, dolphins, sharks. And estimated the size of shoals. And all that is documented on our Facebook page, Fishing Durban Shafad. You can log in and find that statistics. But the big concentration is at the waterfall area, and they are making their way up. I spoke to Ghulam Isak as well, who's a veteran netter. He says that because of all the dirty brown water that's flowing out of the rivers, a lot of the shoals will move undercover, so they will move undetected, Shafad, so they can evade predators and also go undetected from our spotting as well, Shafad. So in the next few weeks, they could just pop up in KZN waters without much warning. So all the netters are eagerly on standby with their nets ready and the boats ready. So I think we're going to see some excellent action in the next few weeks. And Ghulam himself said he anticipates it's going to be the best starting run ever, Shafar.
Wow, that will be something. And alhamdulillah, our very own Adam Kamda will be bringing that alive. And I can hear that, you know, auntie telling me, you know, Shafaz, I really like yellow dal with the white rice and with the masala, the carrot tea, deep fried in oil. Adam, when last did you have that? Deep fried carrot tea with masala on it and yellow dal with the white rice. Hey, I'm getting this for that, Adam.
Yes, that plain dal, Shafaz, not a dal goes, the plain dal really goes so well with fried fish. And carantine is such an underrated fish, Shafaz. You know, when you're a beginner fisherman, you would target a species like carantine because you can fish with like three or four small hooks and a tiny piece of sardine and cast it out near the rocks. And you can catch them throw for throw, Shafaz. It's an easy fish to catch. But as you get more proficient, you actually get bored of that and you want to move up the ranks to bigger species. You want to catch dumpnose and garrick, etc. But the taste of the carantine, Shafaz, you know, when you fry it up, it's got a really moist, a sweetish kind of flesh. And it really goes well, as you said, with that plain dal and rice, Shafaz.
Adam, I think one day we're going to do that. You know, people say crush a bunny. We're going to crush a carantine with the yellow dal and inshallah with the rice. Well, Adam, you know what? Do you have a recipe for us? Perhaps give us a Turkish recipe with a baked fish or something like that, Adam?
Yes, Shafaz, I've got a recipe that's aligned with small fish. It's originally with sardine, but you could use any small fish, like even mackerel or maasbanka, if you want to try it out. So you start with 15 small sardines. It's approximately about a half a kilo of sardines. I'll list the ingredients because we'll combine all these ingredients. So 15 sardines, one small onion finely chopped, 1 1/4 cups of breadcrumbs, 2 tablespoons of raisins, 1/4 cup pine nuts, a large handful of dhania chopped, a large handful of pudina chopped, 1 heaped teaspoon of salt, and a good twist of freshly ground black pepper. Then you add to this 1/4 cup of extra virgin olive oil. And so the method is you cut the flesh of the fresh sardines into small pieces, no bigger than 5 millimeters. And you combine all these ingredients and you kind of like mash them together. Then you roll you take one, you roll it into a ball about an inch in diameter and you fry this up. You just do a tester with one, you fry it up and you taste it for seasoning. If there's anything lacking like salt or pepper, you can add more, mix it up properly. And then you can fry the rest in batches. You can either use it round like a kebab, or you could flatten it and make it like a patty. And this, Shafaz, you can enjoy with your plain dal and rice, or you could even serve it with a fresh green salad with a generous squeeze of lemon, Shafaz.
I tell you, Adam, you really gave the healthy recipe there. And yeah, many of them say, Adam, it's more like a fish cake. How would you respond to that, Adam?
Yes, it is a fish cake, Shafaz, but this is a sardine and it's more of a Mediterranean kind of recipe. It's not so much like the Indian style where you're loading with green chilies and all the normal spices, Shafaz.
Well, it makes me laugh, Adam. The Indian style is, hey, put it in oil, man, and half the thing is like half the fish cake you eat. You must have, you know, you got your indigestion coming through because that oil is swimming right in your chest. So you have to have that Renis or that Eno's, Adam.
Yes, it essentially uses olive oil, but you do fry it up in sunflower oil. So fry it in hot oil so it doesn't soak up the oil. And then when you take it out of the oil, you place it on paper towels so it drains off some of the excess oil. So it's really quite healthy, not quite as full of oil as you would imagine.
You know, the last time you spoke about having, you know, those chips you spoke about, you bought in a pre-pack. So when I went to the supermarket the other day, and you were in Turkey then, I said, Adam said buy this. Adam said do this. Adam said put it in the deep fryer. So I went, you know, I went and bought 3 packets. But I tell you, Adam, I put it in the oven and I blessed you because it was the most divine chips I ever ate, better than what I did. So you gave me a brilliant tip there, Adam.
Fantastic, Shepard. Yes, that's the life of influencers. You know, I've influenced you. And then even yesterday I was discussing with my brother. I told him if he's shopping anyway, I'm looking for parchment paper. And this is paper that you can put into the air fryer. So, you know, you put your ingredients and stuff on the parchment paper. So it doesn't drip and mess the entire air fryer and then needs deep cleaning, you know, intense cleaning. And then so my brother said, no, but, you know, you don't get the air circulation, etc. And I said, no, but it's just, you know, like for reheating stuff or whatever. And that as well, I saw on Facebook, there was an influencer talking about this parchment paper, which I've never seen before. And we don't know what things that you can use with air fryers. It's quite new to me. So that's also, you know, the job of an influencer to bring to light new products and get people to buy it. And then the minute I see Shepard in a supermarket, I'm going to buy it and try it.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And I got my air fryer. I knew how to clean it. I mastered the cleaning art of it. But after, you know, the first time when I had made those chips didn't come out well, you know, and I said, oh, no. And my kebabs came out well, and the onions wouldn't come right and this and that. Then I gave it a rest. But now with you rekindling my passion for that, I'll try and give it a go. Adam, your parting words this morning?
Yes, Shepard, I just like to encourage everyone to look out for my page on Facebook. I'll be posting daily pictures of the ocean and giving frequent reports of where the sardine movements are. Just look for Adam Kamda, or you could look for Fishing Durban on Facebook as well. They also have fantastic resources for fishermen and even for the general public looking to follow the sardine run this season. Thanks for a lovely show, Shepard. Always a pleasure to chat to you. Salams to you and the listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Adam. And our feelings and thoughts are reciprocal, Adam. Always a pleasure to have you, and you bring the Indian Ocean.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.